Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The U.S. is expected to hit its debt limit today, and lawmakers on Capitol Hill differ on raising the ceiling or making budget cuts first. For now, Treasury Department plans to shift money from some accounts to others. Correspondent Scott McFarlane is on Capitol Hill.
The nation's debt limit is $31.4 trillion, but without more borrowing, the government can't pay for expenses it's already incurred. The last time Congress nearly breached the debt ceiling was 2011, and it caused a downgrade of the U.S. credit rating and a shock to the stock market.
This morning, stocks have opened lower. The Dow is down 193 points in early trading. S&P's off 25. Actor Alec Baldwin comes into focus today in a deadly shooting on the New Mexico set of his movie Rust in 2021. Correspondent Chris Van Cleve.
According to Santa Fe's district attorney, Baldwin and up to three crew members could possibly face charges in the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. During an October 2021 rehearsal, Baldwin was holding the prop gun when it discharged around, killing Hutchins and injuring director Joel Souza.
Baldwin calls it a tragic day, but denies wrongdoing. Two EMS workers in Springfield, Illinois, have been charged with first-degree murder after a man they'd strapped face down to a stretcher suffocated. Attorney Bob Hilliard represents Earl Moore Jr.'s family.
I think that based on the video, which thank God there is a video, that they'll be convicted.
Police officers had called for an ambulance after they were told Moore was hallucinating from alcohol withdrawal. President Biden has just left Washington for California to view damage firsthand from weeks of devastating storms. Debbie Fetter's been struggling to save belongings in her flooded apartment in Acampo and undergoing chemotherapy at the same time.
It's like a nightmare. I never thought this would happen here, and that's hard because I have to find now a storage, find somebody to help me move this stuff. It's just, I'm exhausted.
Denver's digging out from a foot of new snow as the storm system moves toward the East Coast. Hundreds of thousands of people are protesting in cities across France over pension reforms that would raise the country's retirement age from 62 to 64. The BBC's Azadeh Moshiri.
It's really rare for all unions to band together like this. Even the most moderate union that President Macron thought maybe he'd be able to hold on to has joined this movement. And that sort of banding together hasn't happened in more than a decade.
The Dow now down 170. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Getting around is tricky today thanks to a winter storm dropping wet, heavy snow on Wisconsin. There could be anywhere from 4 to up to 9 inches on the ground once it's all over. Many schools in central and northern Wisconsin in particular are closed or switching to virtual learning. Road crews are asking people not to drive today if they don't have to. Hy-Vee is recalling pot roast dinners. The labels don't have all the ingredients on them, so they're worried there may be something in them that could hurt people with allergies. The meals were all made between December 26th and Tuesday. There's more detailed information on Hy-Vee's website. If you have one of the recalled meals, you can take it back. In sports, Marquette beat Providence last night 83-75. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
At 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guess is Jim Santil. He's a former U.S. attorney for the state of Wisconsin, appointed by then-President Barack Obama. He's now into his own law practice, and he's also a colleague here at Civic Media Radio. So I'm really happy to have him on the air. Let's go to Curtis from West Dallas. Curtis, thank you for holding on. Thank you for waiting. You say what?
I say thank you, Jim, for being on the show. It's awesome. You guys are both really great today. I just want to say one thing. CJ is like listening to Rush Limbaugh, one side at all. But as far as going to what you're talking about, the unions, my mom used to work at Babcock Wilcox years ago in 1989, and because of Reaganomics, busted the steel union. But isn't that crazy that France is doing the same thing, coming together? Because I'm going to tell you, unions don't come together, they fall apart. But as far as going back, as far as what you were saying earlier, we the people are the government, like Tom always says from California. So every time they keep on saying stuff about the government and stuff like that, it's basically we are the government still, unless they privatized it, right?
Say this, we can say we are the government, and yeah, we do play a role in what happens in government. But I was asking Jim many times during the break about the complexities of government. And we the people don't understand the complexities. Yes, we can vote for elected officials and people who we want in this representative government to represent us. But the complexities of government are so vast. I was telling Jim earlier during the break that, yeah, I remember going to a small claims court once. And I thought that, man, I had common sense on my side, right? And somebody said, you don't need an attorney because it's a small claims court. The other guy had an attorney. I had common sense on my side, and I was standing erect, and I just knew I'm going to blow this out of the water. I've got truth on my side. And then the way law is configured, common sense and truth. Sorry about that, Jim. Don't come into play.
I'm very pleased to say that one of the things I provide some pro bono service to in the Eviction Defense Project of Legal Action Wisconsin, representing people who are being evicted in small claims courts. So I know exactly the forum in which you formerly were. And, you know, again, most people there are not represented. And I will tell you, it is not intuitive. And yes, I'd like to think that common sense, the substance in the end, which is your point, Earl, wins out. And I'd like to think most often it does, but not before you get through an awful lot of process. You've got a summons and a complaint, and you've got discovery, and you've got evidence rules. And in order to get that common sense there, you need to understand more about how that process works. And that's the reason why Again, this is not an advocacy for lawyers out there, a for lawyer employment plan. That's why having some legal counsel, even in that setting, with respect to the governmental operation of the courts, is so important. And so that your interests, the interests of people, whether it's housing, again, academics, commercial things, can be you can drive through all of the legal stuff and get to the core of the issues.
Well, so here's another prime example. President Biden. And these documents,
Yes.
Former President Donald Trump and his documents, you hear people say, especially on the right, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. And you guys went after President Trump, and you should be going after President Biden. Right. It's the exact same thing.
And it is not. And it's a perfect example, Earl, of what you've been preaching all morning and in other times on your terrific show here, which is life is complex, right?
Right.
And if we're going to have these discussions, yes, we can have wonderful discussions like this morning with people like Curtis and others. If you're going to play in the field, you need to have a little bit more understanding. And you do, and Curtis does, and others do. And this is a perfect example of it. I heard just two nights ago, and this is not new, one of our members of Congress, a member of, again, the majority now in the House of Representatives, saying exactly, Earl, what you just said. That you advocate for this, but he said, well, gee, the Department of Justice and Merrick Garland searched Donald Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago. Why is the Department of Justice not searching the president's home in Wilmington, Delaware? And the answer is exactly what you just said, which is hugely different circumstances, hugely different, not only in terms of the process that led up, a year-long process where the requests of the former president to return the documents from the National Archives, a letter request to the attorneys, followed by a grand jury subpoena that was also not complied with, followed by a search that was granted by a federal magistrate judge upon what? And here's the key, upon a finding of probable cause that there is a crime here and that you'll find evidence of that crime. Huge amount of process to get to that point. What do you have here on the side of Joe Biden? You've got a discovery probably back in early November of a few documents. And what do they do? Fairly immediately, wasn't part of the public domain initially, they turn right around in days and said, look what we've got. Turn those over to NARA, turn those documents over to the Department of Justice. Have they have more discoveries just in recent weekends? Turn them right around. And the question is to the congressman who asked this question, what is your probable cause now to believe that at the Wilmington, Delaware place, or at this Penn Biden location in Washington, D.C., the office, that there's evidence of crime to this day? And the answer is, at least in the public domain and probably in the Department of Justice, there is none. That's one of the huge differences in this. And it also goes, as we've spoken in the past, about intent, right? If I come to you and say, you know what, Earl, you've got all these documents, turn them over. And for a year, almost a year, you hand them out in kind of a slow drip and drip. That shows me you're not serious. You have intent not to disclose them. Here, just the opposite. Within weeks, days sometimes, of discovering them, the answer is not only you don't have to request them, I'm going to voluntarily turn them over to you. And that shows I do not have any intent to violate the law, which requires that I do not have these documents in place. Huge numbers of differences in terms of timing, the process, the number of documents. We don't know also exactly what the nature of the documents are. We know in the Trump side of things, there are at least 100 of these that are specifically identified as classified, some of them very serious. Yes, some of those small numbers of Biden documents also have those classifications. We don't know the extent to which that classification is about, for example, North Korean nuclear power or a rule of law initiative to establish courts in South Africa, for example. Those are different kinds of things, right? And so lots of things that are wildly different. Goes to your point, again, if we're having this discussion in Congress, on this wonderful show, in the public domain, it behooves all of us. We are required to get a better sense of what searches are about, what grand jury subpoenas are about, what decisions are made, how decisions are made by prosecutors about intent, all of that, which again is accessible. And it may not be perfectly common sense, but it's the kind of thing that we should be discussing in these public domains.
You know, you used the term process several times. And so we don't understand the importance of what process is.
Right.
What do you break it down to where
sure,
we can understand
absolutely.
Why that's
right.
so critically important
absolutely.
Component of this.
It's all over our Constitution, right? The Fifth Amendment, the 14th Amendment, in due process of law. It's out there. It's a fundamental notion. And the idea is that before we deprive you, before we affect your rights in America, whether it has to be in small claims court, whether it has to do with a criminal prosecution, even a civil matter, in a court, you get notice, right? If Earl, you're going to sue me, you've got an obligation to give me a document to let me know the basis for your suit, right? And tell me what I've done wrong. So I've got a chance maybe to remedy it. That's process. I've got an obligation, the courts do, to call me in and say, okay, Jim, what do you say about what Earl's claiming here? That's process too, an opportunity to be heard, right? I can write things out. I can tell the judge things. I can tell my government, my aldermen, my alderwomen. I can tell my representatives in Madison, in Washington, D.C. That too is a process that goes forward that ensures that my voice is heard, that the voices of people who disagree with me, including at least one of your callers this morning, that his voice is also heard. And that also is America. It's true in the courts. It's true in legislatures. It's true in the executive branch. It's true in OSHA, which began our conversation a little more an hour or so ago. That again, even Amazon has a right to contest what OSHA has done, and they've got some days in which to come back and say, we do or do not agree with this. We're going to remedy it. That's the process that we contemplate. The difference, which you hinted about, Earl, earlier on, is in a country where we do not have that process, that due process point, you simply have decision makers who are autocrats who say, Jim, don't do this. We're going to go in. We're going to take these things from you. We're going to restrict your employment, your access to health care. We're simply going to do it, and you do not have a voice. That's the difference.
So there is no simplicity.
There is not.
In these things. And that's why, you know, that there's so many attorneys in so many different levels of law. Is it safe to say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are many areas, and I say this all the time, both on the air and off, people will very kindly and thoughtfully call me up and say, Jim, can you help me with this? And I will say to them, you know what? I know about a very narrow area of the law. I like to think with 30 years of government experience inside the Department of Justice, I know about many things, including the federal government. Many, many things I know nothing about. And so expertise in many areas, that's why there are securities lawyers, and that's why there are corporate lawyers, and again, real estate lawyers and tax lawyers, all kinds of expertise, just like a medical doctor. You would not go, if I've got a foot problem, I would not go necessarily to my eye doctor, right? Same kind of thing. And that's also a reflection of the complexity that is in our regular lives, right? It's also true about government, and it's not simple. But again, to your good point, if we have these important discussions, we don't have to know every last thing. But in order to understand whether it's the classified documents cases or labor policy that Curtis was talking about, unions, an obligation to do a little bit of self-education, which you do. I like to think that I do as well, before we are out there having the debate. And we can all debate, but it needs to be informed.
All right, got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Be right back.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 37. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance of snow showers. Lows dip down to about 26. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Highs level off around 30. A dusting of snow tonight with another inch Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number again. My guest is James Santille. I certainly did not plan to have him hanging around this long. He's a busy man. I'm glad he's decided to hang around.
God, Earl, I'm delighted to be with you.
And I'm glad he's here. Let's go to Rico from Rock County. Good morning to you, Rico. You say what? Rico, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Hey, enjoying your show today, as always, Earl. Well, and I'm glad you got James. Glad you got James on there, too.
Yes, sir.
As long as we're talking about, you know, government and we the people and law, and this goes a little deeper to something I've called in Jim's show a couple weeks ago. I was just wondering, we have an organization here in Wisconsin goes by the name of WILL, Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty.
Yeah.
They seem to only want to take they only want to take up issues on one side of the table, it seems, though. And I'm wondering, do we the people have an organization maybe that would be interested in taking up? It seems to me like there would be an intent to disenfranchise through fraud we the people and the citizens of Wisconsin on this false electors situation. And I wonder if Jim could address that. I mean, is there a collective group of lawyers that maybe would be interested in taking on this whole situation? And I'll hang up and take my answer off air.
Hey Rico, sure. It's a good question, man. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call.
Right. And so, Rico, again, good points here about things very much in the news. Again, all listeners appreciate the fact that this is the false electors part of this scheme to undermine.
Ron Johnson didn't know anything
right,
about.
Right. And may have had some role in trying at least to deliver some of the results from Wisconsin, maybe another state, up to the vice president on January 6th. Much, much larger conspiracy, we now know, in the wake of the January 6th commission, the committee report, but also also investigation going on by the Department of Justice, including Rico, as you know, and Earl, you know as well. The Department of Justice is looking at whether or not these false electors did indeed violate federal law in putting together false statements representing from Wisconsin and about six other states who they are, what they're doing, and sending these off to, again, to the not only the Congress of the United States of America, the Vice President, in the attempt to undermine the election. So that may well be one of the significant remedies here for those people who are responsible for putting that scheme together to undermine by making false statements, misrepresenting who they are, what their authority is. And we in Wisconsin are among those states that I would maintain were almost victimized by those people. So I have been on the air in the past advocating strongly that there needs to be some remedy for that here in Wisconsin and throughout the nation, so that we, again, to use the word we chatted about before, Earl, we are deterring anyone who might think about doing that in the future from doing it again. Now, the Congress has passed a revision to the Electoral Count Act that is going to kind of wrap up and make that much more difficult to do in the future, certification by a governor that these are, in fact, the true electors. But again, to Rico's good point, there can and there should be, when there are those kinds of things, government can play a role. Attorneys general can play a role in enforcing the interests of the people. An attorney general of the United States of America can, and a U.S. attorney can play that role, as can, to Rico's point, private attorneys. And yes, Will does an awful lot of that on the so-called conservative side of the ledger. There are attorneys out there that may not be known quite as much, but who advocate on the opposite side, who advocate for ensuring that our electoral process is open and free. A lot of that happens right before an election. Everything we did recently involving balloting, for example, even going back a few years, remember all of the discussion, you talked about it a lot on the air, Earl, about IDs, right?
Right.
Voter IDs, right? Litigation done by private attorneys, by public attorneys, about what should be the requirements when I go in to vote. That was done by, again, a combination, a consortium of private interests, public interests. More recently, we've got these issues about ballot boxes, right, and dropping ballots off and whether I can do that. That, too, litigated feverishly on both sides. Judges then decide that, sometimes not always favorably from my perspective, but that's, again, our process.
Early voting, right?
Yeah. Absentee voting, all those
right.
kinds of things. The rules can be made by the legislature, can be interpreted by judges, but lawyers and private citizens, by virtue of their advocacy, not only through those lawyers, but in and of themselves, letting their views be known to those groups, to the legislators, they have an impact. And if there are enough people pushing back on restrictions on early voting, restrictions on access to the polls, those things can have an impact upon government. And government, I like to think, representing the people will change and follow what the population will really want.
You know, Jim, as a U.S. attorney, you dealt with crime.
Yes.
And we constantly hear people talking about crime. But, well, before I change the subject, we've got callers who want to probably weigh in on what you just
sure.
got to talking about. So I hold my thoughts about changing that subject after the break. Bill, Karina, hang on. We'll come right back to you after the break. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Be right back.
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Countdown to possible default? The U.S. has officially hit its debt limit, and the Treasury Department's begun moving money from account to account to keep paying government bills. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
We could see furloughing of government employees. Now, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people. Some of those government employees being forced to work, but not getting paid.
House Republicans vowed not to raise the borrowing limit again. Sign-ups for first-time jobless benefits reach a four-month low. Bankrate's Mark Hamrick.
Although layoff announcements and job cuts have accelerated in recent months, the unemployment rate remains at a historically low 3.5%.
An announcement expected on possible charges in the deadly shooting on Alec Baldwin's movie set. Attorney Rachel Fizay.
What the investigators and the prosecutors have been evaluating for the last 14 months is who knew the risks on the set that relate to serious injury or death.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. Don't expect the price of your morning omelet to come down anytime soon. Egg prices have gone through the roof, with historic highs of $8 to $9 a dozen for specialty eggs. Much of the reason the avian flu that decimated flocks across the country, especially in the Midwest, exposure to that avian flu resulted in the deaths of 3.3 million chickens in Wisconsin. One-tenth of the chicken population in the country has been destroyed in the past year. Egg producers are trying to repopulate their flocks, but say it will take time. The owners of Northwoods Timber must pay more than $1 million in back wages and civil penalties for lying to workers from Mexico and Central America about where they'd work and how much they'd get paid. The Madison U.S. Attorney's Office says Alfredo and Patricia Aguilar pleaded guilty to one count of fraud. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222. Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Jim Santeel, former United States Attorney appointed by then-President Barack Obama for the state of Wisconsin, eastern portion of the state of Wisconsin. And again, good morning to 97.9 FM WGBD Green Bay and 98.3 FM WISS Oshkosh. Thank you for taking the time out to listen and call in sometimes. We'll, we'll put you ahead of the curve. Let's go to Bill. Good morning to you, Bill. How you doing? What do you say?
Good morning, Earl. Great show, as always. Boy, you guys just keep raising the bar higher in quality and educating people. I'd like to address this question to James. We just had an incident out where I live, Aurora Summit. The doctor, they want to sue Aurora Summit because the doctor refused to prescribe ivermectin. Now, we all know the ivermectin crowd, and we kind of know the background of that. Doesn't that cross the line of what they call negligent homicide? Because I'm under the belief that negligent homicide, it would be when you willingly and knowingly put somebody in harm's way that causes either permanent dismemberment or permanent disability or death, you're guilty of it. What can you give me your thoughts? I'll hang up.
Sure, sure. I haven't heard this story specifically, Bill, but it sounds as if what you're describing is, I assume, a civil lawsuit trying to compel a doctor, which is problematic from the very start, right, to substitute the views of someone else, presumably a non-doctor, over the doctor, compel him to prescribe, to administer to a patient ivermectin, right? And it sounds like that's what you're responding to. Again, I always say that, you know, that our courts in America, our state courts, our federal courts are open, and I can go and I can file any lawsuit I want. In 10 minutes, I can pay the fee, and I can get that underway. People often ask, can I sue for that? The answer is, yeah, practically I can go in. The question is, and that's what this particular situation underscores, is there any merit to this? Is there any judge in the state of Wisconsin, in the federal system, in federal courts, who's going to look at this and say, number one, we have got a medicine that not only the federal government, the CDC and others have said plainly, it's a horse medicine, right? It's not effective. And beyond that, we're going to substitute the decision making of a judge over that of the professional decision making of a medical provider and compel that person to engage, Bill, in what you just said, which is probably putting that person's life into jeopardy? The answer is no. And whether you'd like to think that after a process, again, that follows the filing of that frankly frivolous lawsuit, there's no merit to that, that a judge or a jury, if it gets that far, it shouldn't get that far, would say, you know what, we're dismissing this. And then we're also going to impose some penalties, actually, for bringing this lawsuit in the first place. You'd like to think that the reason for that kind of a lawsuit is, in the end, and I think this goes to what I think is implicit in your point, Bill, people who brought that lawsuit have got to know that is ridiculous. It's frivolous and it's not going anywhere. It's simply so that this continuing notion out there that somehow ivermectin or these other things that we know are not good for you, that are not cures for COVID in all of its variants, that theory, that crazy theory, still continues to have life. And it's regrettable that people continue to use now the court system, if you will, to try to advance something in the public. They're going to lose in the state court, federal court, and so they're simply trying to, again, advance that in the public domain, where likewise it has lost and just needs to be put to its death.
So we're going to rename it Just Ask Your Lawyer.
All right, there we go.
Anyway, let's go to Karina. Hey, thank you, Bill. I really appreciate it.
Good call, Bill.
Yeah. Hi, Karina. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hi, gentlemen. Well, I have two questions, actually. The first question, it's kind of strange, and I don't really understand, and I was thinking maybe you guys can explain it, because why all of a sudden we're looking at the Biden and documents he had? I mean, are we asking everybody who ever touched archive or ever had a deal with or dealing with those kind of documents where they are? I mean, why we're not asking them everybody? Why all of a sudden we're asking Biden where the documents are? That and the budgeting, I also don't get it. I mean, a country is like a big household, right? So if I'm short on my mortgage, if I am didn't make a payment on my mortgage, right? So why would I give my money for my mortgage payment to my neighbor in need if I am going to stay on the street? But this is exactly what we're doing with the Ukraine. We're giving up money outside of the country. We're inside of the country, we're saying, oh, we're not going to pay for Medicare and Medicaid. So people who are disabled and old are going to do what? go on the street? So that's pretty much my two questions.
Great.
Corinna, thank you very much for the call. Ask your lawyer.
All right, here we go. All right, Corinna, some great points there. Discreet points, but great points. Let me see if I can address them fairly briefly, but that's not to indicate that they're not substantively right on target. One is you know, our nation. I was overseas in Iraq for about 2 years, 2006, 2008, working with the rule of law principles there, with the judges, courts, police, and on a daily basis, I had access to and was provided and actually created some classified documents. We have, I would say, probably millions of classified documents out there in our government and all sorts of entities. And the point of, and maybe this is a generalized answer to your question, everybody who has access to documents, whether you're the president of the United States of America, a former president, or I am an analyst in the bowels of some agency somewhere, whether it's in Iraq or here in the United States of America or anywhere around the world, has obligations to handle it in a certain way. When I was given classified information, I had to go into what's called a SCIF, a certain room where it's the only place I could see them. There were all sorts of regulations because we don't want that information to be disseminated into a public domain, right? It's classified for a reason. It goes to our national security. And so the answer, Corinna, is that yes, everybody in America, you have to have a classification, you have to be certified, you have to be permitted to get access in the first place. Everybody who has access to those kinds of government documents has got to abide by the rules, whether you are the president or you're Jim Santel as an assistant U.S. attorney in Iraq doing these kinds of things. It really just underscores that no one is above the law. Undeniably, because he is the president right now, special focus on this. There are situations all the time where mistakes are made with government, with classified documents. The question, as I said before, is whether or not there was an intent to disclose it or whether this was simply messy, simply a mistake. And the great majority of investigations, as I suspect the Biden investigation will find, is that there was no intent here to disclose this information. These few documents found in some files, that's typically when investigations are done of compromises in the classified document area. That's most often where the findings come down. There was a mistake made. There was access to them in a situation where it shouldn't have been, and we move on from that. Maybe a slap on the wrist, don't ever do this again, but that's probably where this is going as well. But a very good point made. As to your point about Ukraine, I would take even a broader view, Corinna, on your very important point. We can have in this country, as Earl and I are describing at great length this morning, great differences about foreign policy, about the extent to which we should be giving monies not only to Ukraine, but also South Korea and others around our allies around the world. We can say, as you have said, that instead of that, we should be ensuring that our Medicaid and Medicare system, Social Security, education, health, all this is supported here in this country. That's a policy decision. And you know what? You and I, Earl and I, we can disagree on that. And that's a good thing. And I would take the very, very 30,000 view of what you just said, Corinna, and say, this is why voting is so very important. Corinna, if your view is important, and it is, and it's shared by many, many people in America, you got to get people in Congress. You got to vote for presidents who agree with that and need to refocus perhaps the decisions that are made at budget time, right? Where our monies are going, all of that goes to representative government. It all goes back to voting. You want to change the ways in which our monies are spent in America? You send different kinds of people to Congress. We're having a budget debate right now in Wisconsin about this surplus, right? You want to change that? You can't do it anymore, but in a future election in a couple of years, you vote for different people. Maybe you keep your representatives if you like them. You change them if you don't. But all of that has an impact upon finances, and you can get your policy view articulated and advanced by virtue of who is representing you.
So thank you very much for the call, Corinna. You know, I wanted to go quickly, Jim, crime. You,
yes.
And while you were the U.S. attorney, again, for the state of Wisconsin, crime was on the docket as
absolutely.
It always is.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about fentanyl.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that fentanyl keeps coming into this country, and somehow behind it has to be organized crime.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that anything of that nature
right.
and that reaches that many people. It's similar to what was happening when cocaine was coming into the country.
Right.
Back in the 80s.
Crack, powder, crack, right? Yeah, right. Methamphetamine labs, right? Those kinds of things, right?
That's organized crime when it's to that degree and to that level. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And you know, part of our focus as in the federal system, U.S. attorney's offices, we address things at that level. The DAs and state's attorneys are the ones who might prosecute I don't want to minimize the significance of them, but the smaller trades and purchases that take place in cities around the country. Our focus was always on exactly what you identified, Earl, which is where is this coming from? Where are the huge amounts of drugs, where they're being manufactured? Who is getting them to get them into the streets, into the hands of dealers, that ultimately fentanyl can kill people, as we know well? How does it get at it at the source? And it's organized, it's crime. And again, as you well know, it's about money, right? Because that's where these people, that's where they live and they work and that's how they thrive. And they're using it, they're getting money by virtue of putting these horrific drugs into our system, compromising the health and the safety and security of our communities. And so one of the real focuses that we always had on, again, I know that it's a controversial matter, and is to identify those people at the top and try to identify those folks who again, trickle this, I don't mean to, again, minimize it, but send these drugs into our system in such a way that it has the street impact. Who is starting this process inside and outside our nation?
So let me ask you, because we have CIA that can travel throughout the world and infiltrate nations and find out everything. Mm-hmm. Are they involved with the fentanyl issue and all those?
They can be. And again, this may be a little bit beyond.
Is that the FBI?
The FBI has domestic responsibilities. Every so often, they do have some tendrils. For example, when I was in Iraq, there was an FBI location there. But those are kind of specialized. You got it just right. The FBI, basically a domestic agency that investigates things in our nation. They will, however, very often do the tracing that we just talked about into a Mexico, into an Eastern or Western Europe, into Africa, into Asia, to figure out where these drugs are coming from. And that is their jurisdiction to do those kinds of things is premised upon their domestic assignment. The CIA, by virtue of its very broad worldwide assignment, will certainly more than bump into those kinds of things. And yes, indeed, one of the things that one of your previous callers talked about was, you know, interagency communication. CIA can share that information with law enforcement under appropriate circumstances without compromising the secrecy of their process and say, you know what, we have come across a huge group of people, I'm just making this up now, Germany, in Ethiopia, in Brazil, who's doing this kind of thing. We think you need to focus on that and make that reference to an FBI and to others who do have jurisdiction to bring those cases through U.S. attorney's offices into our federal courts for prosecution.
So I would think that as... with the tools that we have in you know, the FBI, the CIA, and other entities, and the power that the attorneys can give to those people, that I don't care where it is, when we know this is organized,
right.
That we can track that down.
Let's get at it, right? Exactly, right?
Right.
We should be able to track it down.
But the sheer numbers of people who are dying,
right?
You would think that it would be priority one.
Absolutely. And again, I could not agree with you more when it comes to these things.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands, seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota Style 12 Grain, Multigrain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads. baking our best for you.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 37. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance of snow showers. Lows dip down to about 26. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Highs level off around 30. A dusting of snow tonight with another inch Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Man, I don't know what happened to the time with Jim. But
delighted to be with
I'm
you.
I'm really happy that he's here. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Hey, Jack, thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, I want to kind of go back to this idiocy that's happening in the House, and particularly to my favorite representative, the guy I certainly would never have voted for, Derek Van Orden. It seems that only the peons who had no political connections whatsoever have been sent to jail, and they've been sent to jail for months to years for breaching the Capitol. Van Orden was clearly shown in video as part of that group, yet nothing has been done. And there, and he's not the only one. There have been people that have been elected or, like Van Orden, have been gerrymandered into Congress. And nothing's being done with them. And these guys should all at least be, you know, taken into court for what they did. I mean, at least charges that they should get would be something like illegal entry or something corresponding to that, it would seem to me. So that's my comment.
Sure, Jack. Really, really thoughtful again. Again, a little background on that. Of course, we know that we're now approaching about 1,000 people who have been, as Jack, as you noted, been prosecuted for their on-site involvement, breaching the Capitol, everything from seditious conspiracy, that's the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, the people who were responsible for the deaths of people on January 6th. We've got about 1,000 of those federal defendants getting sentences of everything from probation to months in home arrest to up to 12, 15 years in prison. So that's happening. Your good point, Jack, is many other people out there have not been the subject of these prosecutions, and I agree with you. This is exactly what Eric Holder, our present Attorney General Merrick Garland, our Deputy Attorney General, is looking at. And I think your frustration about it taking too much time is well placed. It is time now for the Department of Justice to look at those people who, as Liz Cheney said, summoned the mob and lit the match and brought together this conspiracy of people that, yes, you saw most visually among those thousands of people attacking the Capitol. But who organized that? Who put that together? It may also include Donald Trump, people like John Eastman, people like Rudy Giuliani and other folks out there who brought this all together, put together this plan. And to undermine me. Those are the folks, I think, Jack, that you're focusing on. I am hoping and I'm anticipating candidly that sometime soon, and I mean weeks, if maybe months, but weeks, the Department of Justice through the special counsel, but especially the Attorney General, will come forth and say, we are issuing now indictments as to those categories of people, Jack, that you've identified who are really responsible for making this happen beyond the folks who threw the polls and beat up the law enforcement on that day. That's where it's got to go. That's truly the administration of the rule of law. That is justice not only for us today, but also for history, right? When Jack, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren look back at this and say, what did you do to respond to this? We got the people who put this together. We got put together the conspirators.
So is we really short on time? Go ahead, Jack.
You know, we absolutely got to do that. But there are, as I said, there are people in Congress right now who basically did the same thing that a lot of those people who were sentenced did. And yet they aren't even being looked at.
Right. Well, and it may well be that their names are on files. We don't know that yet. We'll wait to see. But I share your concern that maybe their names are. They're certainly the focus of some of the grand jury investigation going on. We will see who the Department of Justice charges and who it does not. Good point, Jack.
Hey Jack, thank you very much for the call. As we're down to a few minutes, so Merrick Garland. And the guy who was the
Eric Holder, yes, right.
So they're different people.
Right.
And they look at things in a different manner. Guidelines can
absolutely. Memorandums, policies are set by attorneys general. Very proud again to be. I worked for Janet Reno as well. Very proud to have been a part of her administration. Eric Holder was a deputy at that period of time. Let's get back to drugs for one moment. Very proud of the fact that during Eric Holder's administration, we talked about crack powder and red powder before, and these sentencing disparities that were happening because of and people being exposed to huge penalties based upon a difference in the quality, the kind of cocaine that they were distributing. Eric Holder came in and said, you know what, that doesn't make sense. I'm going to basically be out front of something called the Sentencing Commission, change the directives to U.S. attorneys and to assistant U.S. attorneys and said, you know what, when it comes to sentencing these folks, let's try to even the playing field. We're still going to prosecute, but we're going to do this more fairly. That kind of thing, that in the violent crime area also, civil rights, all kinds of things, civil litigation, attorneys general can make differences when it comes to environmental enforcement, civil rights laws, voting issues, which we talked about. Education enforcement. Curtis talked before about unions. Department of Justice does antitrust work, all those kinds of things. The policies and the priorities, which is your point, Earl, those can be set by an attorney general, and you better believe that Eric Holder and Merrick Garland have a different set of priorities than do, for example, a Jeff Sessions or a Bill Barr in a previous administration. And why is that important? Where do attorneys general come from? They're appointed by a president. Where does a president come from? Elected by the people. Go out and vote. Change those policies through that process.
You know, Jim, man, I want to say thank you for taking the time out. And we used to do this.
We did. And let's do it again. I'm so pleased to be with you and your callers, your listeners. This is fantastic, Earl.
That's again, my colleague. And let's talk about the times that you're on.
Very good. We will do that and keep going and keep these good conversations. Law enforcement and the rule of law, justice in America, it's not an easy thing, right? Again, I've used the word imperfect a lot this morning. Government is imperfect. We are all, as human beings, imperfect. But nonetheless, that's the aspiration to get better.
So the name of your show and the time.
Yes, right. So the name of my show is Morning Cannolis, 9 to 11 Saturday mornings. We talk about many of these kinds of issues. Try to delve into the background, a little bit more of the major headlines during the course of the week, and we'll do that again Saturday morning.
All right. I want to thank everybody who made the show go. As always, couldn't do it without you. Thank you, Connor. We've got to get out of here and make room for the next up. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later. All right.
That's wonderful. Great fun. This is great fun. Oh, my gosh.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.